Martina Stenström, välkommen till programmet.
Tack så hemskt mycket.
Du är ju kommunikationspoddens reporter och har varit på Rethink, är det en mässa eller vad kallar man det för?
Konferens kallar de det för, eller ett seminarium. Alltså det är både föreläsningar men sen så finns alla talarna på plats så att man kan gå runt och mingla med dem och ställa frågor efteråt.
Och det var precis det du gjorde. Ganska tunga namn kommer vi att höra här. Det är Ogilvy, det är Kodak, det är Lego, det är Pinterest, LinkedIn för att nämna alla. Det du frågade om var ju lite grann deras tips på vad man som organisation ska tänka på. Visst var det så?
Ja, vilka principer. För alla hade fått ett uppdrag av Arn då. Att de skulle ha med sig principer hur man ska få företag att överleva i framtiden. Så de hade med sig de principerna, det var de jag frågade efter också.
Ja men du, då tar vi och lyssnar på dem nu då. Här kommer de alltså i lite enkätform skulle man kunna säga. Några av talarna från Rethink-dagen på Grand Hotel tidigare i veckan.
My name is Lars Silberbauer and I come from Lego where I'm Global Director of Social Media and Search. So in Lego we measure social media in four different ways. We measure the direct sales we have, we measure the brand affinity, we measure the marketing efficiency and also the ability that we have to do damage control and risk mitigation. So the way that we use these four ways of measuring it, it's not depending on like we either take a campaign that we only do to direct sales or we only do to build brand affinity, but basically depending on what kind of campaign we have, we then measure it on a couple of those and we know where we are having the main objectives and also where we have the secondary objectives. So we might have a campaign that will drive brand affinity but will then also be driving sales, and we need to track both of them and we also need to know where we're going. In LEGO we build a campaign called the Crunky Wonky campaign, and it's based on the insights that 98% of kids at the age of 3 are basically being measured as super creatives, but at the age of like beyond 30 it's only 2% that are actually still that creative. So we wanted to celebrate that and reveal that creativity, and we did that by asking normal families if we could come in and ask their kids in their own homes, in their own playrooms, one question. And the question was basically, what is a crunky wonky? And if you ask kids that question, they instantly start to imagine and start creating from their own, basically their own creativity and imagination. And that's kind of what is amazing with Lego and Lego bricks, is that when you add that to kids' imagination, they can really start seeing things coming to life. And that's a big campaign we ran in 20 markets that was really, really powerful for us. In Lego, we work a lot with real-time marketing because we want to be where the consumers are when they're there. And to do that, we need, of course, first to understand where they are. We need to understand what they want. And then also how we, in some cases, can contribute with anything from our brand perspective. Either it's just through listening and recognizing the creativity of the consumers. But it can also be, for instance, to make sure that they have the right content from us, that we can also inspire them to build more stuff, to create more, to share more. So that's the way that we work with real-time marketing. If I should recommend and do three main takeaways, it would be that you want to create connections with consumers, and then based on that connection, you want to build a relationship. It's very expensive to actually disrupt people when they're having an experience. So rather build a relationship where they come to you and where you have a mutual value exchange taking place. The second one is, I would say that you need not just to invest your money. This is not just a game you can win by putting a lot of money behind paid advertisement. You need to make sure that your whole team are acting as the human voice of the company, and they're also free to do it. So we don't put a lot of effort into creating huge playbooks. We believe in creating competencies and building the competencies with the teams, so they can actually take that conversation, also the tough conversation sometimes, on behalf of the brand, but still represent and still act like human beings. And thirdly, I think it's about, as a company, finding out where your brand can be the first mover. Like, you shouldn't be first movers on everything, but you should have something in the areas where you can be the first ones out there. So it's about being brave and do stuff that others haven't done before.
My name is Alfonso. I work for LinkedIn. I am a media strategy lead for the EMEA market. So the extension of my job is to partner with our sales teams that work in LinkedIn Marketing Solutions. LinkedIn Marketing Solutions is where brands come to LinkedIn to create awareness, to generate leads, to generate demand, to get people to understand what they offer as brands. So I consult alongside all our sales field that own our products and services to maximize the brand's KPIs and their objectives by understanding better our products, what kind of data we're able to offer, and what kind of creative solutions we're able to do. That can be anything from creating a media package that actually helps them understand what kind of publishing they should do on a Monday or on a Thursday and how that could be different by using different products of ours, to even being, in some cases, an API type solution where data is used elsewhere. And there are thresholds and licensings that need to happen behind this, but many things are possible.
So why should a company be on LinkedIn?
It's awful to say why not. The reason is, at the moment, we are the biggest platform that aggregate number of companies, universities, employees, jobs. But ultimately, because a company wants to hire, they want to market, and they want to sell. And this is the platform where they can do all three. So we, at the moment, are 380 million members, we call them on our platform, of knowledge workers. That is more than half of knowledge workers around the world, which are 780 million. Of course, our goal is the 3.1 billion people in the global workforce. That is our true north and something that will take us time to get. Other stats behind this is, for example, I don't remember the number of jobs by heart, but we have, for example, 8 times more engagement with branded content than actual jobs. And this is showing how employer branding is merging a lot more with marketing to create more opportunities. We have 2.4 million companies registered on our platform. We have an immense amount of skills flowing through our database, and that just gives us a lot of content to help brands be more relevant. So I think the opportunity lies at the broadest sense for consumers. They obviously want to stay informed with brands, stay connected to people they know from the B2B context, and they want to find their next job. So with this in mind, you have the opportunity as a brand to be able to target accurately at the right time with relevant content. And this is something our products can help you do, be it at a brand awareness level at the top of the funnel or at a lead generation at the bottom of the funnel. And we will obviously be able to explain or on our website find the products and services we offer for marketers to reach the right people when and how.
Hi, I'm Rachel Goodman and I'm from Pinterest in brand partnerships. We work with brands on their Pinterest strategy, both organically and promoted through advertising. I think Pinterest brings a really unique experience to the table for brands to be able to tap into consumer behavior as they're looking for future purchases and they're making future plans. So being able to get in front of them and create a relationship with them before they've made purchasing decisions and create that authenticity and helpfulness through your content, and that is ultimately going to be what drives future purchases and relationships with your customers.
And how exactly are you going to do that?
Well, we're going to do it through really great content, engaging content that makes sense for the brand and makes sense for the user based on what it is that they're looking for.
And if I have a company, how do I use Pinterest in the most effective way? How do I create that content?
Sure. So some of that content you may already have on your site. Your content can be your products, your ideas, anything that it is that makes up the fabric of your brand. Just thinking about that content a little bit differently. How do you take products that you already have and bring them together in a way that will make sense on Pinterest? You don't necessarily have to go and create new content. You can use assets that you already have.
Can you give any examples of it?
Sure. So if you're a retailer, for instance, you've got a new fall catalog, let's say, and you have a lot of really great products there that might be perfect for someone looking for a certain look. So you can compile a couple different products together and say, these are the top five products for anyone looking for a preppy fall look. And so you're tapping into someone on Pinterest who's looking for fall fashion and is looking for a certain look, and you're giving them something really tangible and useful to say, if you want to achieve this look, these are the five products you should be looking at. So those five products already exist on your site. You're just bringing them together in a new way and a new idea.
My name's Danny Atkins. I'm from the UK and from Kodak. At Kodak, I'm the global brand director. So the insights I have really are about figuring out what assets that you have and then capitalizing on that, on those assets. In addition to that, it's about identifying a story and putting your products at the heart of that story and ensuring that the story is authentic. So in our case, we have a founder, George Eastman, who put a marketing idea right at the heart of his company. You press the button, we do the rest. We are resurrecting that idea and telling that story again, and it's increasingly becoming part of our product strategy and vision. Kodak is an awesome brand. Currently, we're largely a B2B print business. I've often heard it said that we're a brand without a company. And so part of my job at Kodak is around reinvigorating the brand, driving transformation through brand. So we've been working on a series of projects to bring the brand back to life. So a lot of what we're doing is about driving transformation through the company and using brand and the brand story to drive that transformation.
Can you tell me about how you're using Hollywood to drive change?
So we have awesome connections to Hollywood. Many movies like Star Wars, like Spectre, a lot of the movies you see in the cinema today are made with Kodak film. And so what we're doing is working with our advocates in Hollywood, J.J. Abrahams, Christopher Nolan, who shot Interstellar, to bring Kodak very much from the back of the film to the front of the film. So it's a real innovation. Lots of brands pay millions of dollars to be associated with Hollywood movies. And up to this date, we've really undercapitalized on our close connections with Hollywood. So a key part of our strategy is in leveraging and amplifying those relationships in Hollywood. We're launching a number of new products via our brand license portfolio. We have the PixPro 360, which is a 360 degree 4K camera aimed at the prosumer space. It's very much in old Kodak's category of imaging. So we're bringing new products that help us tell the story and where our consumers are already familiar with us and our products. So we have a whole gamut of new products that we'll be launching in 2016 that are all centered around the imaging technology. As you saw from my slides, the brand is extremely salient in imaging, and so we're looking to capitalize on that and bring new products to market. And we will be utilizing our talent and collaborations in the creative sector in order to amplify that product story through social and through digital. We're using Instagram particularly and YouTube to drive our content currently. We are looking at new platforms like Pinterest, and one of the things that I thought was very interesting about the presentation that we had today was how welcome brands are in the Pinterest community. I think that's what really differentiates Pinterest from some of the other social media feeds like Instagram, whereby, you know, permission to play as a brand, can, particularly if you're advertising, can be quite challenging. We typically use Instagram to share interesting and relevant content to our followers and to our users, rather than to push a sales message. It's much more about sharing interesting things visually that kind of help tell our brand story rather than actual sales.
I'm Marshall Manson. I'm the Managing Director of Social for Ogilvy & Mather for Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. So, principles for the future of marketing. I think it's all about earned. It's all about earning attention. And if we earn attention, we can earn space. And if we can earn space, we can earn scale. And so when you approach marketing problems from the position of creating great earned content, it has to be editorial, it has to be newsworthy, it has to be timely, and it has to be relevant for people. And then if you apply that to social media, it's all about moving beyond community into micro-targeting. It's all about understanding what audiences want and creating content for them, rather than only creating the content that we want to create. Sure, so an example from the presentation. My favorite is the work we've done recently for British Airways, where we targeted expat Brits living in the U.S., and we targeted them with content that was created just for them. Some really ironic, funny content about the beautiful British summer and how actually the beautiful British summer isn't that beautiful after all. And we invited them to interact with the content and then buy tickets to come back home to Britain. And many of them did interact with the content, hundreds of thousands. And many of them bought tickets well above the targets that we set for ourselves. And so by creating content that really spoke to their interest, spoke to who they were, and creating it just for them, ultimately we achieved a big business result for British Airways. Advertising and Instagram. It's a tricky one. It wasn't that long ago that the two Instagram founders were actually reviewing every single ad that was going to run in Instagram and approving them before they ran. And now they've sort of opened Instagram up to every advertiser, no matter how big or small. And unfortunately, the result is that there's a lot of clutter. There's a lot of really bad content being published and paid for. And so I'm keen to let that situation shake out for a little while and to see how the landscape in Instagram evolves before we go back in with some of our big brand clients. At the moment, there's just too much clutter.
Där hörde vi dem alltså. Och det var de talarna som vi på kommunikationspodden eller Martina på kommunikationspodden hade fått tag i. Så om du själv skulle summera de här slutsatserna som talarna har dragit, vad skulle du säga att de kom fram till? Vad är viktigt att tänka på just nu?
Content och influencers. Framförallt att skapa bra innehåll, publicistiskt innehåll som står för sig själv. Och att jobba med brand advocates, människor i nätverk, att tillvara på de som redan gillar varumärket, men även hitta profiler som talar till samma målgrupp och få dem att prata om varumärket.
Ungefär det som storstad jobbar med alltså?
Ungefär så, ja.
Och influencers, det är ungefär, ja, det är jag det.
Ja, typ så.
Ja, då vet ni vad ni ska höra av er om ni vill ligga i framkant alltså. Max Landegård på kommunikationspodden. Så ja, helt utan ödmjukhet men med bra ljud i alla fall. Kommunikationspodden som vi, ja, och vi hörs ju nästa vecka. Ha det bra, hej.
Tack och hej.